Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. The Sherwin-Miller Museum of Jewish Art is currently presenting an exhibition that reaffirms our essential humanity to love and be loved in the contemporary art of the sexuality spectrum. Assembled in the wake of New York State's debate on same-sex marriage, the exhibit moves far beyond that debate to examine through art the complete human experience, from heterosexuality through the LGBT spectrum. Artists depict biblical scenes ranging from Adam and Eve to Lilith to Jacob wrestling the angel, as well as powerful works commemorating the persecution of gay men in the Holocaust, the continuing losses of the AIDS epidemic, to imagery depicting the struggle for equal rights, both here at home and in Israel, to artwork that depict the humanity we all share. My guest today is the curator of the Hebrew Union College Jewish Institute of Religion Museum, where the sexuality spectrum originated. Laura Kruger is my guest, and she'll be speaking tonight at 7 o'clock at the Sherwin-Miller Museum about the exhibit, and the exhibit continues on display at the Sherwin-Miller Museum through the month of February. Laura Kruger is my guest today. Laura Kruger, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
My pleasure to be here.
Well, this exhibit, The Sexuality Spectrum, looks at the theme through Jewish life, the whole spectrum of sexuality, from men and women to transgender to gay society, the whole spectrum of sexuality, as the title suggests. How did this come about? How did this show come about?
Well, in May of 2011, New York State was arguing in the legislature about the ratification of the Same-Sex Marriage Equality Act. And I happened to be caught in a traffic jam in a taxi who was listening to a radio talk show. And there were call-ins, and the language and the intensity of hatred that was coming across the airwaves was frightening to me and disgusting, quite frankly. Parenthetically, you should know I am past middle age, if I live into the next century. and I am a New Yorker born and bred, and I'm a person who has spent my entire life either in the arts or in the retail fashion exhibiting business. I'm not someone who has come recently into a role of some prominence. And I was stunned at the vehemence of the language I was hearing and quite disgusted and fearful. It sounded in my ears like something I had imagined the rhetoric of Nazi Germany would have been against the Jews and anyone else they wanted to annihilate.
Which included gays as well.
Included gays. Since homosexuality was not a topic of conversation during that period of time, we actually never paid attention to the plight of people of different sexual perspectives. I grew up in the ballet. I never became famous enough for anybody to remember my name, but in the corps de ballet. And I was very comfortable with everybody there. Sexuality was never a problem in the fine arts. And so when it started to become this amazingly volatile and hostile juggernaut that was plummeting through everybody's life, what were our sides on various things? There were no sides to take. We're all people. We all have different tastes, feelings, predilections, ideas, ideals. What difference does it make what you do in your private time? I don't like chocolate ice cream. Does that put me into a pariah group? I'm a vanillaist.
So what came about, it was the heat of the rhetoric of this moment.
Exactly.
as marriage equality is being debated in New York, passions were high, rhetoric was high.
Exactly.
And you saw this sort of sense of the marginalization of the other.
Exactly.
Which...
So I arrived at work, and I sat at my desk, and I was fuming, and steam must have been coming out of my ears. And one of our amazing rabbis that is on faculty at Hebrew Union College walked by and said, asked what the problem was. I, in 25 words or less, told him. And he said, well, do something. I said, I write checks. I march in parades. What could I do? He said, well, you can put on a show. That sounds very Judy Garland, Mickey Rooney to me. That's where's my barn, and let's start tap dancing. But indeed, that's exactly what I did. I took all of this passion that I have, opened it up to the artists that we work with. They opened it up to other people. I have a staff of 4 women who are very much like myself. Some of them are retired from other curatorial jobs in museums. And we do not always think with the same mind, which is good. It's very good. There's a dialogue. There's questioning of the mission or the direction of the mission or the breadth of the mission. So we started speaking to artists. I have never, ever asked an artist what their political party is, what their religious affiliation is, what their racial profile is, and what their sexuality is, let alone their politics. So I didn't do that now. Yes, you can jump to conclusions and think, well, this person is, you know, has various aspects of one or another things, or you can tell by someone's skin color how they might identify themselves if asked by the U.S. Census. But other than that, all I care about is the quality of the art. A word about the art, I work in the field of contemporary art. That means art that is happening now, artists that are, for the most part, alive, and that the style of now is a very wide, broad style. It includes representational art as well as abstract art, minimalist art, any of cubist, collage.
Everything.
Everything. It's a wonderful era to be a curator. And so we started the ball rolling, made calls to artists, had discussions with them, started to go on studio visits, and this project blossomed. It has been one of the most satisfying, I don't want to use the word achievement, but the show itself is an achievement, not my efforts. The breadth grew through the eyes of the artists and the works of the artists. I knew very little about transgender issues. The first thing I did is I went online and found an exceptional vocabulary glossary of all of the phrases and terms that refer to different sexual and sexuality choices and modes of life. And it clarified things at once, because many of the words that we use commonly to define people's lifestyles, or choice is not always a good word to use.
Right.
This is not something that somebody wakes up in the morning and says, gosh, I think I'll be heterosexual today.
That's who they are.
That's right. You either genetically or whatever, mm-hmm. grow into the person that you are. So, as I said, one artist led to another. One concept led to another. The show broadened very significantly from gay, lesbian to include many, many different concepts, including the positions of parents, families, siblings, friends, outsiders to the people, the individuals. I had not, at the initial onset of the show, thought about that. I had not really thought deeply about the religious impact, but when it hit me, when I started to read the passages that actually have caused the hatred against the, quote, deviation of gay people, it was very sobering. The show went from being an embrace in a positive way to being very sobering and chilling. For a long time, we thought we were calling the show Leviticus 18, which is the big passage about right. abomination. But it's very much more, and I'm happy to say, better than Leviticus 18.
And the whole idea of the show is encapsulated in that title, the sexuality spectrum, because it goes the whole gamut
right.
of sexualities.
If I were a graduate student, I've often thought it would be fun to go and ask other curators the many different titles they've had for a show from the inception to the final, you know, stenciling on the glass panels.
Well, you mentioned Leviticus 18, and there is a very strong piece that has that disturbing element, which is a picture of that passage with a magnifying glass,
right,
right on abomination, and that
right.
and that gets at the heart of some of these, the real inner conflicts of a lot of folks who don't conform to this biblical notion of where they are on the sexuality spectrum.
I can easily point out, but I'm sure everybody realizes, that Leviticus is a text that's used by all of the three major faiths, by all of the Jewish denominations, by all of the Christian Catholic denominations, and by Islam. It's mm-hmm. there. And the targeting and the negative attitudes are the same in all of these religions. Yes, I do work for a Reformed Jewish organization. Yes, I am a Jew. I'm a conservative Jew. Yes, I believe in most of our religious values, but there are many things that perhaps they addressed something, you know, centuries ago, eons ago, but we are living now and we cannot live in the past. I wanted to make certain two things. Being a religious institution, I did not want to leave a message in anyone's mind that homosexuality was a Jewish condition. It is definitely not. On the other hand, Jewish homosexuals have been thwarted in their ability to practice Judaism fully because of Leviticus 18. So it was important for me to find artworks. This is an art show. This is not a polemic. This is not a photo documentary. This is a fine art show. I say that, and I have to keep repeating that because people say, but why didn't you have a photograph of, for instance, Stonewall? The best artwork of that was done by Andy Warhol. It's a fantastic, moving photograph that has been manipulated from a fine art point of view. And unfortunately, I could not borrow that piece for the show. Mm. Every curator in any show, whether they're doing Vermeer or they're doing, you know, a graphic novel show today, will have something that got away. And the Stonewall Riot was something that got away. But there is a section of the show that refers to that, the isolation, because that's what caused it. This group was not self-isolating. This group was forced into isolation because they were denied privileges in public restaurants, in public bars. They were not made to feel comfortable. These people that I'm speaking about were basically in New York, in the West Village, and there were bars in the West Village that became, in essence, clubhouses for gay guys. When the police raided them, were they not supposed to defend themselves? Mm-hmm. So there are aspects of that in this show. The aspects of religious worship, the denial of religious worship, people who were not welcomed into congregations, who were made to feel like pariahs or out, definitely damaged human beings, was something I really wanted to address. The Reform Jewish movement was the first religious organization to acknowledge the devastation of AIDS. And when people began to call attention to the plague of AIDS that was coursing through the entire United States, not just New York, people started to parade. They started to parade first for attention to the disease, and second of all, as memorial parades. The memorial parades are chilling to even think about. They happened in all of our lifetime. They are not the past. This is not a military event that happened 300 years ago and we're commemorating. It is still happening. People yes. are still dying of AIDS. There are people who are resistant to the medications, who have no access. They live in populations that feel that these people have sinned and this is a judgment on them, and so be it.
And there's work in the show that address all of these
exactly,
themes.
Exactly.
My guest today is Laura Kruger. She's the curator of the Hebrew Union College Jewish Institute of Religion Museum in New York and the curator for the Sexuality Spectrum, which is currently on display at the Sherwin Miller Museum. It's on display through the month of February, and she'll be speaking tonight about the exhibit in a special event at the museum at 7 o'clock, and she's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. Let's talk about some of the pieces in the show. The first that struck my eye was one of the earliest, is from 1947, a lithograph by Richard Grun. This goes back to, again, back to the Holocaust that we were talking about earlier. This is a lithograph, untitled, that depicts these soldiers sort of in a superior position over these men who are obviously victims in some sort of concentration camp.
The homosexuals, one of the colors of the badges that people had to wear to identify them.
Pink triangle.
Were a pink triangle for homosexuals. Women were not as obvious. Lesbians were not as targeted because they were very much under the radar of the time. But men were hunted down, tortured, murdered, incarcerated, and died in great numbers. There's very little artwork to refer to their plight. And I'd like to start with one other one first, which led me to this. I have shown the work of Judy Chicago for a number of years. I feel that she is a great artist that deals with issues that almost belie speech and words. And she deals with them in a memorable graphic material. I had the privilege of doing an exhibition for her some years ago called The Holocaust Project, which is devastating and totally scarring to one's memory. It's there. Once you've seen any part of it, it never leaves you. As I'm speaking, I'm having this little personal slideshow going through my brain. One of the pieces in that show was called The Pansy Crucifixion. It refers to homosexuality, the word pansy, a slur word from the 19th century that referred to male homosexuality with various silly words, one of them being pansy, and the hunting down of men by the Nazis, the lesions caused by the AIDS
Kaposi's syndrome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which by staring at you can see form pretty much the shape of the three petals of a pansy in dark purple and pinkishness. And the painting itself, it's a gouache, it's a drawing in gouache, is in the shape of a triangle, the shape of the badge that homosexuals were required to wear. I didn't puzzle over it. That was one of the pieces when I started the show that I knew I wanted to show. When I started the show, and when the idea came to me when Rabbi Jerry Davidson said, do a show, I thought, okay, Judy Chicago's Pansy Crucifixion. There's a watercolor painting by Joan Snyder that was tremendously meaningful to me. She went through a period of a stylistic period where her work looked like street graffiti. And I had shown a work in a show called Women of the Bible or something like that that had the names of every woman named in the Bible, some of them scratched out, all of them in different kinds of wall graffiti writing. And this was another like work. This was a sheet of paper, 20 by 24, and listed all of the names that you might call your companion, my partner, my lover, my husband, my wife, my sweetheart, and down the list. All of them crossed out. One of them after another crossed out. And finally, at the bottom of the artwork, the name of her companion, lover, wife, husband, mm-hmm. sweetheart, My Maggie, the title of the piece, My Maggie. And I'm a very private person. And so dealing with a lot of these subjects. I'm comfortable with them. You know, not that some of my best friends are, but, you know, they're people. They have different feelings about things. So a lesbian is entitled to being a lesbian, and I'm entitled to being heterosexual, and so on and so forth. Many of the lesbian artists were reluctant to be seen and shown in this particular show. They did not want to be targeted or tagged as that is their identity. I can understand that also, but this was a very powerful piece. And the third piece I knew that I wanted to show in this show was a piece by Archie Rand, a very powerful Jewish artist. Actually, the two women I just mentioned were also Jewish. Archie has a style of pulp fiction, graphic novel, motion picture poster, paints large figures, usually with text, usually with Hebrew text, and frequently garbing the actors in the scene he's portraying in contemporary clothing. And the one that I had in mind was David, the erstwhile King David of biblical lore, reading a letter from the now dead, his dead lover, Jonathan, who's been killed in battle. The text is in Hebrew, I have loved you more than the love of women. I am paraphrasing, but it's the actual text. And they're garbed in the uniforms of First World War paratroopers, Jonathan having died in battle, David having survived. But the pathos of the image is very real and very poignant.
My guest today is Laura Kruger. She is the curator of the Hebrew Union College Jewish Institute of Religion Museum in New York and the source for the sexuality spectrum, the new exhibit at the Sherwin Miller Museum, which is on display this month and next. She'll be speaking tonight at 7 o'clock, and she's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. Well, this is one of the interesting things that comes out. There's a couple of themes that artists have gravitated towards. One is Jacob and the angel. And there's very many different interpretations of that. It'll take a theologian to get through all of that. And also Lilith. This is very interesting that the artists have gravitated towards these themes. What do you make of that?
Well, it's very hard to ever leave your own life out of various sculptures and artworks because you have intense... If you open yourself to art, you're going to have an intense relationship with something, and no one else will have that relationship. So there is... At the Tate Britain, not the Tate Modern, but the Tate Britain in London, a very large bronze sculpture by Sir Jacob Epstein that was done in the early 40s. It is possibly larger than lifestyle, and it shows an angel and an ungarbed man in a close embrace. I first saw that when I was either 15 or 16, and I was dumbstruck. I wasn't quite sure. I think I just never quite understood how guys did it, but maybe that was the first reaction. But the power of it, the passion of it, has never left me. It was a totally positive, it is a totally positive embrace. It is also of power. And the angel is incredibly powerful. I have no sense, and I've looked at this many times since then, that Jacob was powerful. The angel was the active person in this. So in looking for other, I obviously could not get Sir Jacob right. Epstein's piece, but this was one of the gauntlets I threw down to a number of artists. What is happening in Jacob and the Angel? I have a piece, not quite contemporary, from the 20s, by an artist, Lionel Rees, of Jacob and the Angel in close embrace. It's a...
And it depicts the blessing at the end.
Yeah. No. I'm not quite sure if this one traveled. Possibly not. but there is one of two unclothed participants in the desert. It's very beautiful. The other one we have is by Richard McBee, and it is Jacob being attacked by the angel. Jacob wrestling with the angel. You could interpret that as Jacob was lying there innocently in his sleep, and some predatory angel came down. And what happened? There are works by an artist, Avner Maria, that include Jacob and the angel, where Jacob is fighting off the angel. So this is a very open, unresolved, if you want to write a doctoral dissertation, here's a topic.
My guest today is Laura Kruger. You can hear her tonight at 7 o'clock talking about the exhibit, The Sexuality Spectrum, which has already shown in New York. What was the reaction?
Philadelphia also.
In Philadelphia also. What was the reaction from audiences?
It was eminently positive. It was an embrace. People walked through the show with tears in their eyes. Mothers walked through the show actually holding back sobs. We had one marriage that took place, several engagements that took place in the gallery. It was astonishing. But I'll say one last thing. I think it's the last thing. There are two works in the show. You have them in the show right now. They're by Grace Grout-Pillard. And they're of two transvestites, Tom and Peter. They're very large. And we had a group of high school students going through, not New Yorkers and not from a Jewish day school. They were from a public school that had a program that evidently was discussing the value of celebrating difference. And so I was doing a tour, and we're looking at Tom and Peter looming over us, and one young man crosses himself. He's genuflecting in front of the piece. And he's probably about 16 or 17. And when we started to move on, I went over and I said, "You seem very moved by that painting." He said, "Yes, I think it must be a saint. He has the saddest eyes I've ever seen." That is the way art moves people. This was a painting, a very good painting, of a transvestite. It was not derisive. It was compassionate. And he picked up, this teenager picked up on the compassion and the need for embracing everyone.
Laura, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Rich.
Laura Kruger is the curator of the Hebrew Union College Jewish Institute of Religion Museum in New York. She's also the curator for the traveling exhibition, The Sexuality Spectrum, currently on display at the Sherwin Miller Museum through the month of February. She'll be speaking about the exhibit tonight at the museum at 7 o'clock. For more information, visit the Sherwin Miller website at jewishmuseum.net. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. If you missed one of our recent programs, they're available online anytime at publicradiotulsa.org. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.